नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। So we'll continue our discussion on the third canto, 29th chapter, explanation of devotional service by Kapila Dev to Mother Devahuti. We saw Mother Devahuti, after hearing about bhakti, jnana and yoga elaborately, she again expresses her desire to know about the practice of bhakti. How is bhakti practiced? What is the abhideya? And she also mentioned, also speak about the nature of time and also speak about the nature of samsara. How, despite all kinds of endeavors to go to various places, one cannot actually get the real happiness in this material world. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. So, in response to this question, these three questions, Kapila Dev describes more in detail about the practice of bhakti in this chapter, and also about the nature of time in this chapter. He will speak little more, even though he has already spoken about time little early. Then in the next three chapters, 30, 31, 32, he will speak about samsara. He will talk about all kinds of various journey to other planets, how it's not very worth it, and eventually we'll conclude that ultimately to go back home, back to Godhead, by practicing devotional service is the only opportunity to not return back. Nacha punaravartate, nacha punaravartate, like that. Okay, and in this chapter we saw Kapila Dev mentioned, he spoke about the three kinds of mixed devotional service, and then after explaining the three kinds of mixed devotional service, he indicated that madguna shruti matrena mayi sarva guhashaye manogati ravichinna yata gangamba sombudau lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya yudahritam ahaituki apratihata avyavahita ya bhakti purushottame salokya sarshti samipya sarupya ekatvam apyuta दीयमानाम् न गृणन्ति विना मत्सेवनम् जनम्। स एव भक्ति योगाख्य आत्यन्तिक उदाहृत येनाति व्रज्य त्रिगुणम् मद्भावायोपपद्यते। लाइक दैट ही स्पोक अबाउट द नेचर ऑफ प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस विच इज अन्याभिलाषिता शून्यम ज्ञान कर्माद्यनावृतम आनुकूल्येन कृष्णानुशीलनम भक्तिरुत्तम। एंड देन इन द नेक्स्ट फ्यू वर्सेस ही स्पोक अबाउट द लिम्स, यू नो, वाट आर what the devotees of who are practicing pure devotional service, what are the limbs that they practice, and finally concluded by mentioning yata vatarato ghranam avrinte ganda ashayat evam yogaratam cheta atmanam avikariyat. That just as the fragrance is carried to the nose from its source by the wind, similarly the mind is carried from matter to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord by the wind of bhakti. Like that he concluded. But having said that, just as proper practice of bhakti carries the living entity to the lotus feet of Krishna, improper practice of bhakti while committing offenses actually takes one away from Krishna. So, our Bhagavat Shravan Prabhu raised this question: is it covered or is it lost? Okay, because we are going to now speak about offenses and disrespect, it is worthy to touch this topic before we start discussing the next series of verses. So, I'll just go to Madhurya Kadambini, and let's see what Madhurya Kadambini has to say about offenses to honor the question asked by Bhagavad Chavantu. I'll just read from some section, it's not really continuous, but just to so he's talking about offenses, aparadottanarthas. He's telling the case of the offender losing the mercy of the name is similar to a subordinate who is offensive to his vastly wealthy and capable master, the holy name. So if the holy name is not giving result, that need not necessarily be the incapability of the holy name. Like if there is a millionaire and he has a servant, and the servant goes and criticizes the master on his face, and next day he goes and tells, I have my daughter's marriage, can you give me 1 lakh rupees? For the millionaire, 1 lakh rupees is nothing, he can give. But is he obliged to give? He is not obliged to give even 1 paisa. If he does not give even 1 paisa, then you can't tell, oh, he cannot be a millionaire. So the similar way, if someone offends the holy name, and by chanting the holy name he is not getting the result, that is not the incapability of the holy name to bestow mercy. It is, he has to rectify his offensive mentality. He is denied proper care and is treated indifferently by the master. Here, who is the master? Who is the servant? The devotee. The devotee who is offending, committing the offense of the holy name, offense to the holy name. He is denied proper care and he is treated indifferently. As a result, that person comes to suffer poverty and distresses of all sorts. That is the meaning of bunjana evatma kritam vibhakam. So the devotee thinks that I am suffering because of my own offensive mentality. It should be known that a master neglects a servant who is offensive and no one else is capable of helping him. No one else is capable of helping him. Navidyate tasya yamair hishuddhi. The yama, niyama and the other process cannot help a person. If a person has committed offense, he can't take shelter of jnana, yoga, karma, anything to rectify. Nothing is capable of nullifying that offense. Namno balad yasya hi papa buddhi na vidyate tasya yamair hi shuddhi. It's not possible. Yama niyama asana. Yama ityadi. Yama niyama ityadi. If the offending servant again puts himself at the beck and call of his master, the master gradually shows mercy and that person's sufferings are step by step eliminated. This might seem like it is just covered and not lost. Okay. But let's go ahead and read. In the same way, the offending devotee will at first suffer some miseries. As he performs sincere service to the devotees, the scriptures and spiritual master, the name will again gradually manifest mercy and gradually only eliminate evil tendencies. It could be any kind of misery. Not It could be physical, mental. Sometimes people who are heavily offensive, they almost become like mad also sometimes. Heavily offensive towards devotees, sometimes you see them become mad actually. Yeah, they go out also, that also. They go out, that is for sure. And after going out also, they become mad. Thus, one cannot argue against the gradual elimination of anartha. So, anartha's elimination is gradual. But someone may say, oh, I have never committed any offenses. I don't know. I don't remember. These 10 offenses I have never committed. One should not make such statements. Why? Though the offense may not have been done recently, it may have been done in the past. But one can infer the existence of offenses by their effect. What is the effect of offenses? There is no symptom of prema. That is poverty. Prema dana vina. Vyartha daridra jivan. Dasakori vetanamora deho prema dan. So, in fact, that is real daridra. So, daridra jivan. Tatashmazaram hridayam badedam nakrihyamane harinamade. Navikriyetata yada vikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harsha. You all know. Seeing the following verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, another doubt arises. What is that doubt? Are all the devotional credits actually lost due to offenses? What I have painstakingly accumulated over so many years, is it actually lost? So this point is raised. This is a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kete aparada viprendra namno bhagavata krtaha vinignanti indranam krityam prakritam hi anayanti hi. O foremost of brahmanas, what are the offenses against the name of the Lord which cancel the results of all one's performances and lead to a material conception even of transcendental topics? Which means, when would someone have material conception of transcendental topics? When would someone have, in general I am telling, when would someone have, when one does not have Shraddha? Mahaprasade, Govinde, Nama Brahmani, Vaishnave, Swalpa Punyavatam Rajan Vishwasvanaiva Jayate. For those who have Swalpa Punya means here, Swalpa Sukruti, which has not graduated to Shraddha. For those who do not have Shraddha, how is that lack of Shraddha manifested? Mahaprasade. They will not have any special attraction to Mahaprasad. They may say, Mahaprasad mein kichdi hai, non-Mahaprasad mein paneer sabji hai. Bolega, paneer sabji dalo. Hey Prabhuji, ye prasad hai, prasad. तो क्या ये पनीर है ना, वो तो खिचड़ी है, खिचड़ी तो वैसे तो मुझे अच्छा नहीं लगता है. सो विच मीन्स इट्स प्योरली ऑन द लेवल ऑफ ही इज नॉट सीइंग द महाप्रसाद इवन गोविंदे. ये वेकेशन में किधर जाएं? तिरुपति जाएं? अरे तिरुपति में क्या है? तिरुपति में भगवान गोविंदा है. तो पर मतलब एंजॉयमेंट के लिए क्या है? सेम आई थिंक लाइक दैट. नाम ब्रह्मणी. ही मे नॉट हैव एनी स्पेसिफिक अट्रैक्शन टू द होली नेम. मन में पुट सम होली नेम कीर्तन ही में से. म्यूजिक उतना अच्छा नहीं है, ये सिनेमा सॉन्ग लगाओ. And Vaishnave. Vaishnave means he does not put the Vaishnava on a higher pedestal. Which means he may be a very sattvic person. So what he will do? A rajasic person will see for him one on the higher pedestal is who is a good performer, who is very successful. A sattvic person will see ye dono mein gunavan kaun hai, who is endowed with good qualities. A devotee, he will close his eyes and see devotee kaun hai. Like for example, before coming to Krishna consciousness, if you had, while you are joining college, you might be, if you had a choice, you might want to choose a very studious person as your roommate. If you are a very ambitious person. If you are a very sattvic person, then you might want to choose a person who has no bad habits. Correct. But if you are a devotee, you will close your eyes and say, is there any other devotee? And food, अरे कोई आसपास में कुछ प्रसाद का व्यवस्था है क्या? That's what we will see. Whether it is North Indian or South Indian, will we see all of that? If there is a choice, there is a North Indian prasadam mess, there is a South Indian prasadam mess, that comes later. But if there is, first consideration will be what? Can I get prasadam somewhere? अरे प्रभुजी पर बहुत तीखा बनाते हैं. ठीक है, थोड़ा चाश डाल के खा लेता हूँ. पर प्रसादम तो है. सो वन हु हैज दैट श्रद्धा, हिज पॉइंट ऑफ हिज फ्रेम ऑफ रेफरेंस वुड बी महाप्रसादे गोविंदे नाम ब्रह्मणि वैष्णवे. ही विल ऑलवेज पुट देम ऑन अ हायर पेडेस्टल. बट अ कॉमन मैन विल नेवर. तामसिक पर्सन कांट सी, हिज आईज आर क्लोज्ड. अरे मेरे लिए, मेरे साथ, you know, who will be the one who will partner me for drinking like that? So nama brahmani, brahmani name, nama brahmani, nama brahman, shabda brahman, anna brahman, like that, nama brahmani. So swalpa punyavatam, for those who have meager agyat sukriti, which has not graduated to the point of Shraddha, they will see transcendental things also as material. So here he says, what are those offenses against the name of the Lord which cancel the results of one's performances and lead to a material conception of even transcendental topics? Which means he loses Shraddha. Okay. See, actually, nama aparad means not necessarily offense only against the name. Nama aparad means bhakti aparad. Aparad which is born out of, you can say, malicious attitude, improper attitude. That is namaparad, not necessarily only against name. It is against Bhakti Devi only. So Srila Vishnachaka Thakur says, in other words, repeatedly hearing and chanting the Lord's name should give prema. Serving the sacred tirthas should bestow perfection. Tasting repeatedly the ghee, milk and betel prasadam should destroy all desires for sense enjoyment. Look, these are all spiritual activities. They will bestow their result. Charanamrit. So what are the grave offenses? Again the word cancel is used. Which cancel these results and cause all these spiritually potent activities to appear material. This very startling and unnerving question is being raised. What is unnerving? What is the meaning of unnerving? Very? Extremely frightening. That is the meaning of unnerving. So just very startling and unnerving question is being raised. Will I lose my devotional credits completely by offenses? If this is so, does it follow that a person who commits a namaparad becomes averse to the Lord? Is it that he will at some point become even averse to the Lord and thus cannot even take shelter of a guru or perform devotional activities? Is it true? He says, this is true. As during a serious fever, losing all taste for food, a person finds it impossible to eat, so a person who commits a serious offense loses scope for hearing. Scope for hearing here means faith for hearing. He loses faith in hearing, chanting and performing devotional activities. There is no doubt about it. However, if the fever lessens with time, which means if his offensive attitude lessens with time, some taste for food develops. Even then, nourishing foods like milk and rice cannot give their full power of nourishment to the person suffering from chronic fever. They bestow some benefit but cannot relieve him of his wasted condition. Which means, when someone has gone out of devotional service due to offenses, then even if his offensive mentality goes away, he will not immediately start practicing Krishna consciousness. If he again becomes fortunate to come in touch with a devotee, he will start with the peripheral limbs, not direct limbs, because he is still in a wasted condition. Like for example, I'll give you an example. He has become spiritually malnourished. So, peripheral limbs means, I'll tell you example. I have personal experience of this. And this time also when I had gone to Vrindavan, I got little more experience of these things. Like, Satyamurthy Prabhu was asking me, where did you get come in touch with devotees? I was telling in 1999 I actually came in touch. So I came in touch with my roommate, with whom I am still in touch with. Very good friend of mine. Right from the first day in college since 1998. So we have been very close friends. We both were walking around the campus and one devotee came and invited us for the program. Both of us went. He stuck to the program. I left it. This was in Trichy. So, from 1998 till 2009. So, how many years? For 11 years, he practiced Krishna consciousness very strictly. Very strictly means what? Even during college times, he used to wake up at 2:30. Complete his rounds before Mangalarti. And every day, even though it was not allowed, he used to, like him and few others, used to illegally cook within their hostel rooms. Okay. So they used to cook and eat, and like this he followed even after college for almost like 7 years. Very strict. But at some point, somehow due to some offensive mentality, like he would not stay with devotees. And whenever I used to ask him, why you are not staying with devotees, he would say that, I am afraid that I might commit offenses. I mean, this is not very reasonable understanding, because then why is Sadhu Sangha emphasized so much? I mean, it is not to make us paranoid of offenses. We should not think that, Sadhu Sangha is like a landmine. You know, anytime anyone may get offended and I may lose my devotional credit. That is not the purpose of giving about, all these offenses. But at some point, somehow internally, even though externally he was not expressing to me, but internally maybe some offenses were getting added and added and added, and one day it burst out in such a way that he completely gave up Krishna consciousness. From 16 rounds every Ekadashi Nirjal to waking up at 2:30 to zero practice, to the extent that a few days after this happened, I was speaking with him, and every time he used to, when I used to call him, he used to tell Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, like that. And this time he was like, hello. And I said, hey, I'm, at that time I was not initiated yet. I was sitting out, this is Balaji. He said, ah, yeah, I know. Then I thought maybe he's little busy or something like that. Then he shared, you know, that somehow it was accumulating, certain offensive mentalities were accumulating. And then over a period of time, then I invited him to temple. So he entered the temple room, and I paid obeisances to Prabhupada. He would not pay obeisances. Then I went and paid obeisances to Radha Gopinath. He would not pay obeisances. Then the Julan Yatra that was happening, I remember. In Gopalji hall we had Julan. So I sat in front of him and I did Julan. He straight walked out of the door. He had just come to meet me. Because mutually we had an absolutely non-judgmental relationship. Therefore, even though he didn't want to stay in touch with any devotee, he didn't see me as a devotee. He saw me as a friend. We always, when I was not in Krishna consciousness, he was in touch with me. When both of us were in Krishna consciousness, we both were in touch. Then later when he left Krishna consciousness also, I still stay in touch with him. Then later he shared with me then that when he used to go to temples, later slowly he tried to, you know, he was also a Sri Vaishnava, right? He tried to follow the Sri Vaishnava practices. But still, when he would go to temple, he would feel like spitting on the deity. So it had like a very, very negative effect. Then slowly, now he has come to a situation. And incidentally, when he got transferred to Mumbai, this was a transferable job, every 3 years or so. He got transferred to Mumbai, he got a house right next to Jubo Temple. So, then for the first 2 years, once in a while he used to go to Jubo Temple Govindas for eating prasadam. Not prasadam. Food. That was the nearest restaurant for him. So he used to take his family and go there. So now he has become like almost like zero, like practically very normal person with absolutely no inclination for anything spiritual. And this is 2019, so we are talking 9 years later, last 9 years. So, anyway, because someone raised the point about single preceptor system, you can edit this. I will just make one small point. Later you can edit it. I saw this here, I saw this in Vrindavan also. Some of the devotees were attending the IBM.
What is single
receptor? If you don't know, you don't know. You don't know. Like you can hear only from me, from no one else. So I realized how they
retain, how they stop them from hearing from others, is that there is very strong negativity fed about all others
in the beginning.
In the beginning, not just in the beginning, throughout.
Idealism.
ISKCON Bhagavat Mahavidyalaya there, like Vidyapeeth there. Very strong. These people, they are not proper practitioners, they are offenders, they are this, they are that, almost like, in one sense, almost like with pig style. So, they hear solid negativity and they lose faith about everyone except that one preceptor. But then, when the preceptor leaves or changes or something like that, then they see that they have absolutely no faith in everyone else, and they are like very, with a very doubtful, very negative perception, they are seeing everyone, they can't invest their faith in anyone, and they eventually give up Krishna
consciousness.
They feel totally shelterless, broken completely. Such people are not allowed to come to ISKCON temple. Like, you know, so many, and to the extent you won't believe, most of them, because of constant hearing negativity, for years and years, they were sick. The whole ashram was sick. Literally, on an average, 5,000 to 10,000 rupees per month was spent on every person for health expenses. That the Vrindavan temple were like completely, they were like, what do you do in your ashram? Why practically all of your people, why they are sick? These devotees were sharing that constant everyday negativity. They will exploit you, they will exploit you, they will exploit you. Because I am your only savior, you know, you have to hear from me. Like that. But then after some point, if in that one personality that faith becomes little shaken, there is nothing below. There is zero hope. Some people become mad. I am not figuratively telling you. Literally some people have become mad. In both these systems I have seen. Because it was happening in our college only. Like one or two people were like, even in their dreams, they used to wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, Prabhuji called, or sir called, sir called, sir called. And literally then he had to be removed from the college and taken for psychiatric help actually. So, I mean, some of my experiences, because I started out coming in touch with success monks, and then I've been in touch with people who have been following. Somehow, so eventually people leave. Many people left also, actually, literally. Because of constant negativity. The offensive mentality carries over. It just saps the energy from inside completely. Can you believe an ashram of 40-45 devotees, practically everyone constantly sick with some chronic illness? Almost 5 to 10 lakhs per month was their monthly medical expenses. Even the nourishing foods like milk and rice cannot give their full power of nourishment to the person suffering from chronic fever. They bestow some benefit but cannot relieve him of his wasted condition. An invalid's diet and medicine can, however, with time restore him to his previous healthy condition. Invalid's diet means you can't immediately give him kheer, puri and all those things. You have to start giving him health prasad. Health prasad means J.O.S.D. course. like that slowly you have to start. It may not be zero is the course, but keep giving him some prasadam. Slowly, slowly. At that time, the full potency of normal food can be utilized by the body. In the same way, after a long period of suffering the effects of aparad, the intensity reduces somewhat and the devotee develops a little taste. Little taste here in Shraddha. Again, the devotee becomes qualified for bhakti. Repeated doses of hearing and chanting the Lord's name and performance of other devotional processes, gradually everything is revealed in progression. What is that progression? He says, Adho Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Adho Vasana Kriya.
That means from beginning.
So which means he again has to start all the way from scratch. So whether you may say it is covered or lost, but the point is he has to start from the scratch. It is like Harivaran Prabhu was telling that the cost to repair that building is more than the cost to, you know, just demolish it and rebuild it. Almost like that, you know. You lost it or whether it is covered, but the cost to get it back is the same. Again you have to gain Shraddha, again you have to gain Sukriti. Then it has to become Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, then Bhajana Kriya, then Antra Bhakti.
Whatever
you
have done before committing offences, the devotional acts,
that has been lost due to offences, no?
That do not add up in the new progress.
No. Because that has been cancelled already. Like you can say, if a millionaire has spent all his million, and he said that at one point I had $1,000,000 in my bank account. You see, $1,000,000. तो आगे देखेगा तो वो मिलियन को स्पेंड भी कर चुका है वो. तो बोले अरे देखो, यू हैव स्पेंड दैट थाउजेंड, यू हैव स्पेंड दैट मिलियन हियर एंड द बैंक बैलेंस इज जीरो.
एक्चुअली
इट इज एक्चुअली नेगेटिव. सो यू हैव टू स्टार्ट, नाउ यू स्टार्ट पुटिंग मनी एंड स्लोली 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 सम तब निजा जन कौन महाजन विल कम एंड पुट some Sukriti, and then slowly the bank balance has to build up and eventually he can become a millionaire again, but he has to progress, start. Yes,
so overall, when we see this situation, we come to an understanding that ultimately it is an individual responsibility of a devotee. Sometimes a devotee can be put by the Krishna's will in a situation where the atmosphere pushes him so much negativity and he becomes an offender. Because of a particular authority or the particular sangha is such that he is pushed to commit an offense. And another circumstances we see where everything is nice. And still, everything is nice, but still, he is something like a fly mentality. See. Still, he will go somewhere in a corner where there is this rubbish full thing. You will say, see, you are doing like this. So, whether it is a good atmosphere, good sangha, good authority, pure authority, pure spirit, or contrary to the, it's an individual responsibility of a devotee.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it is an individual responsibility of a devotee whether to remain pure, not the pure, but an offender, basically.
Yeah.
Purity is different, but offensive. Because offenses really knock out him completely, hati mata apkar. The little loss of the purity can be gained by the intensity and good instruction. But offensive mentality is something very, very, very...
That's why we saw, right? Like, I think I shared this. Let's say if there is, from Shraddha to Prema is 100 kilometers. You have traversed 50 kilometers. And then you commit a sinful activity. Or you start committing sinful activities due to past impressions. So the 50 kilometers that you have covered is not lost. That remains. unless you commit the seventh offense, namo baladi sil papa buddhi. But the rest of the 50 kilometers that you need to cover, it becomes steep. The road becomes steeper and steeper because of the impressions will not allow you to meditate on Krishna and Krishna's service, Krishna's devotees. But after completing 50 kilometers, if you commit an offense, then you go from 50 to 40, and the rest of the 60 kilometers also becomes steep, becomes difficult to traverse. And then you commit another offense, you go from 40 to 30, and the rest of the 70 kilometers becomes even more steep. And then you commit more offense, you go from 30 to 20, and the remaining 80 kilometers becomes even more steep. So like that, by offense one loses previously gained credits. But by committing sinful activities, he does not, whatever devotional ground he has gained, that is not lost. That is the meaning of Neha Vikramana Shosti. By sin or piety, he does not lose what he has gained. But by aparad, he loses.
Seventh offense, he will not go back.
Seventh offense, he will go back, no? Because seventh offense is offense. It's offense to the Holy Name. He should be repentant and not think that my Holy Name will save me. Then it is no longer just a sin, it becomes an offense.
Sin means only it will become difficult, right?
Yeah.
Most of the time, it what happens is, since purchase something which is not as which you are told to, that it is offense or not.
Hey, can you speak a little louder? I am not able to hear.
We perceive something as a fault, and we are not sure whether it is really a fault in some other person. We act according to our perception.
That it is a fault. Everything creates a fault and we act.
Actuality, if there is really fault or no, we are not sure. But we perceive as a fault and we respond to that accordingly. And in due course of time, if you understand it was an offense. Sometimes you understand. In either way, if you react in opposite way, I am sure to do this sinful activity. If I don't perform this way, I am committing offense.
Give an example, I am not able to understand at all.
No example.
Some practical example to give. If you don't do it, it becomes a sinful activity. If you do it, it becomes an offense. I am not able to think of a practical example where such a situation would arise. Just help me understand by giving a practical example.
Since it's not sinful activity, which we don't perform it, but it's like
give example of deity worship.
Interesting. There's so many things.
One thing you can tell.
Suppose, my example only. I do.
Yes.
I'm supposed to do offering at before 150. Still, it has not happened so far. Same example. If I see this fault in somebody, how I react is. Suppose I am a deity worship in charge. It's not in charge, it came to notice that one devotee is doing late offering. So if I tell, then that person
will
get corrected. But if I don't tell, it's my responsibility. I am coming to an understanding this is fault, and if I don't tell, he will continue and things will happen.
So one good way of dealing with this is, when you see it happen, next day, you go and assist that person and ensure through your assistance that it is offered before on time. So that way you will develop a relationship with that person also, and you will gain the right to correct him also next time.
But then the act of assisting only, that fellow will understand that this fellow thinks that I am doing late, that's why I come.
So the fact that he is thinking like that, which means you have not previously invested in developing a good relationship with him. Which means, so that is the problem. So you can't rectify these things at that moment. It depends on how you have invested all through these months, years, that gives you the right to correct him or not. But if you have not invested, then you don't have the right.
But the things will go on inside, you should tell it.
The bigger problem is not correcting or not correcting. The bigger problem is you have not invested in developing a relationship. That is the bigger problem. Actually, that needs to be addressed first. If that is addressed, then the whole offense issue will not come at all. Because that is not addressed, we are discussing about this whole thing.
Yes. I try to implement. But one more thing is, we discuss so much about, we know the gravity of offense, but I want to actually know what step one should take when it happens.
After it happens.
After it happens, you know that this is happening in your mind, one day it will come out, and after coming out you don't feel good also. But what action one should take when it is happening? Before, after, during?
Okay,
I will quickly read, because that is also mentioned here. Okay,
he says, if by chance this offense occurs, sadhu ninda, okay, the word ninda means animosity or malice. If by chance this offense occurs, the person should repent. Oh, I am such a low class person, I have committed an offense to a saintly person. So first thing, first response should be repentance. He says, a person who has been burnt by fire seeks relief in fire. Which is, one who has been burnt by the fire of offense seeks relief through the fire of repentance. According to this logic, he should nullify the offense by lamenting. First, he should lament, then resolve to come before the Vaishnava, then fall at his feet and satisfy him by offering obeisances, praises and respects. But if the Vaishnava is not satisfied, the person should render favorable services to him according to his desires, not one's own desire, according to the other person's desire, for many days. But sometimes the offense is so grievous that the Vaishnava's anger does not die, even after rendering them favorable services for many days. So what should he do? He says, in extreme remorse, thinking himself most unfortunate and bound for millions of years in hell for his offense, he should give up everything and take full shelter of continuous Nama Sankirtan. But one may think, the last step seems to be the easiest step. Unka pair pakadne se pehle achcha hai main, you know, I will chant the holy name, that is easy. He says, by the divine power of Nama Kirtan, certainly in time that person will be delivered from his offense. However, he should not justify himself by arguing that Shastra says, Nama Parada Yuktana Nama Neva Harantyakam. The solution for Nama Parada is chanting. And Vaishnava Ninda is first of the Nama Parada only. So I can rectify that Nama Parada by taking shelter of chanting. I don't have to fall at his feet. So what is the need of humbling himself by offering repeated respects and service to the Vaishnava that he has offended? One may think that's not needed. He said, this type of mentality makes him guilty of further offense. nor should one be of the mentality to think that the offense of sadhananda discriminates between the Vaishnavas. One should say that वो इतना उतना बड़ा वैष्णव तोड़ी है. He is not such an elevated Vaishnava. I know what he does. So it is not wrong to offend him. He says a person cannot minimize his offense by pointing out some defect in the devotee. Prabhuji, actually, you may think I am offending, but if I tell you about this Vaishnava, then you will understand.
He should follow all these steps for me.
I am supposed to follow. Like that. So the point is, by pointing out defect in that other Vaishnava, it may give us some mental satisfaction that itna bhi pura ninda maine kiya hai. He deserves it. He says, by pointing out some defect in the other Vaishnava, your Vaishnava ninda will not be nullified.
Like that.
What is Vaishnava ninda defined here?
Vaishnava ninda means anything done out of malice. It may or may not offend that Vaishnava, but if you have done something in malice with a malicious intent, that is called as ninda. But someone may say, "Arey, when I did, I had no malicious intent. He got offended. Oh, that is not my problem." But the point is, if you really don't have any malice, and if you had gotten offended, you would immediately fall at his feet. The fact that you are not willing to apologize means you have malice.
It's not the mentality what is talking about. Because if it is in the mentality, then it will come in action also.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, sometimes if we correct the devotee and he feels bad about it. And then now if I seek forgiveness from him, I know that he will take it lightly and next time again he will do the same mistake. Because he has been doing the same mistake for many, many times. And every time when I correct, he feels bad about it.
And he is not rectifying also.
He is not rectifying also.
Then why you are continuing to correct?
So you are getting corrected.
Who should learn the lesson here? You are. Then you don't correct, let someone else correct you, then some other person. Maybe whose correction you may take it seriously.
So
the fire in someone else.
So it will be often if it's happening like this for you.
Yeah.
Because the devotee feels bad, but he will continue doing the same thing.
You have to ask the devotee, you know,
See, all these things we are talking about. All these things will not happen if we develop a good relationship. If the relationship is good, then these discussions will not necessarily come. So we have to, you know, we have to look out for grassroots level solutions, not superficial solutions. Like if someone has to think of, let's say, if the place where I am staying, GV is endemic to malaria. So, every time, just before monsoon, the Sevastan means medical team, they announce and they put it in writing in the notice board. What are the things you need to do to avoid malaria? Stay hydrated, keep drinking, don't do anything that will eat anything or follow any eating habits that will constipate you. Because if you stay constipated, it will increase the pitta, and which is a breeding ground for malarial parasite. And have good sleeping. sleep properly. If you have improper sleep also, it increases the pitta. And then, you know, these are Mahasudarshan tablets. Please take one tablet every day so that it increases your immunity. And please use mosquito nets. Like that, many precautions are given. So that one develops a proper immune system that can resist the bite of female Anopheles, the mosquito which can give malaria. I mean, one did not do any of these things. He never stayed hydrated. He was always constipated because of irregular eating habits. No regular sleeping habits. And never took Mahasudarshan tablet. Never used mosquito net. Then the female Anopheles has bit him also. Now he is asking, what should I do to escape from malaria? There is very little you can do now. What can be done? It has to be treated now. Go and beg for forgiveness and all that. But the point is, we can't keep on sending people to hospital to get malaria treatment. People have to think about developing a strong immune system also. So that is when the immune system is because the confrontational situation is a conditional situation. So constitutionally we need to be wired up to actually deal with that situation. And if constitutionally we are not ready, then we will not be able to deal with the conditional urges. Like for example, this connects us to the next section where we are going to discuss about respect. So respect, now Kapiladeva is going to talk about, actually he wants to mention that Vaishnava Ninda or any offense for that matter is the cause of losing bhakti. Initially he tells how to progress in bhakti so that the wind of bhakti can carry your mind to the lotus feet of the Lord. But in that journey to the lotus feet of the Lord, offensive mentality creates obstruction. But he says, how you can avoid Vaishnava Ninda? You can avoid Vaishnava Ninda only if you have a culture of respecting. Like for example, if you do not respect other living entities, if you do not respect non-Vaishnavas, like for example, you may keep walking on the road and look at a particular plant and just kick that plant and walk. We may walk and then we may just look at a dog which is lying down, we may just kick that dog and go. Or we may felt the dog with a stone unnecessarily. So he says, these symptoms indicate that you are most prone to commit Vaishnava Paradosa. Why? Because these things indicate that you don't have an immune system that is strong enough to avoid Vaishnava Paradosa. Like, I remember Radha Gopinath Prabhu sharing this pastime. Let's say pastime, whatever. The first time Prabhuji joined the ashram, maybe 1 or 2 years after he joined the ashram, he got Brahmin initiated and he was just entering the altar. And at that time, Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj, at that time Devamrita Prabhu, he was also there on the altar. And in Radha Gopinath altar, they had switches which were like down, you know, at the bottom. They are called as foot switches. So you can switch it on, switch it off with your foot. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu came inside and the light was off. He looked at the switch, kicked that switch, switched it on. Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj was there. He called Radha Gopinath Prabhu and he said, Prabhu, you are not supposed to use your feet to switch it on. Adamunandu said, but Prabhuji, it is a foot switch. So Maharaj said, it may be a foot switch, but this is the altar of Shri Radha Gopinath. Use your hands. So sometimes we may see a chatai, you know, a chatai roll. So we will put the chatai roll and kick it to open it. You may say that, oh, this is not Vaishnava Ninda, but these are small, small things which we can observe, indicate that we have a weak immune system. Because we are not able to respect small, small things. Because the whole point of Vaishnava Ninda starts out with these very basic things. If you cannot respect small, small things, small, small people, small, small living entities, then you will never be able to give proper respect to Vaishnavas. So therefore, wherever Vaishnava Ninda is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it is Kapiladeva's instructions to Mother Devahuti or teachings of Rishabhadeva to his sons, two, three more places, or Uddhava, Krishna speaking to Uddhava and Uddhava Gita. Again and again, this hierarchy comes. Hierarchy of, like what we are going to discuss about, a little later also it will come. So, if you cannot respect small things, if you do not learn to respect everything, then you will not be able to respect Vaishnavas also. Therefore, this needs to be rectified from the root. This needs a constitutional change. You can't do cosmetic changes and hope that it will work. So we have to change our constitution, rewire our constitution. That's what here. Yeah.
Usually we are prone to commit offenses when, especially when we are in pressure. When we are in a panic zone. When there is too much we are actually that time our discrimination over goes down
correct.
And our sadhana goes down. So that is a time where we are more prone to commit offenses.
Yeah, that is why under normal circumstances we have to consciously cultivate the culture of respect. Then even under abnormal situations we will be less prone to commit offenses. We can't go to the battlefield and say, okay, how do I fight now? If we have practiced for years, we have remained fit both mentally, physically, then we can go on the battlefield and fight. You can't go to the battlefield and ask, what do I do now? So, what do you do on the battlefield depends on what you have done off the battlefield for the last many years. So, we should not be ideally asking battlefield questions. We should be asking off the battlefield on a normal day, what do I practice? So we have to cultivate these things. If we cultivate the respect, then on the battlefield we are geared up to face the battle. But generally our questions are on the battlefield questions only. Like I shared this with you last time, I think. Sometime. In our school, Sainik school, there are certain things about which training was very strongly given. Because all of us were trained to join the armed forces. So one thing which a defense person, it should be strongly wired in a system, one aspect is never question your authority. Done. That is a strong thing. So, how they used to train us, of course when I was getting trained I never understood it. Later, I thought these people are demons. So, right from the young age, so like 6th standard onwards, the senior would come and wake us up from sleep, give us a tight slap. छोटा बच्चा है कुछ समझ में ही नहीं आता है
You are so bewildered.
And then you go to sleep. And then you will come, why you have not arranged your cupboard? Your clothes are not properly folded. And then for giving no reason, I'm talking about these are 9th standard students beating up 6th standard students. And both are children only. And he will ask you to come out and he will give punishment, you know, Durga and not exactly ragging, but these are the official. The point is, you can't go and report this to your teacher. Because if you go and report to the teacher will beat you. So the point is, the bottom line is, you can't report against your senior. Okay. Of course, because on the battlefield, if you sort of negate what your senior says and say no, it should be done like this, within seconds the whole battalion will be wiped out. A battlefield is not the place where you discuss. A battlefield is a place where one instruction has to be followed. Whatever the senior says has to be followed on the battlefield. So for that, from 6th standard we used to get training. But the point is, the teacher, in those days we didn't have CCTVs, but the teachers were very watchful about to see whether the senior students are misusing their free will beyond a particular distance. If they see that he is over punishing for no reason, he will get it from the teacher, but the junior will never know. The senior will get beating, junior will never come to know. But when the junior goes and reports this abuse to the teacher, he will get beaten. So this was like a very foolproof system, you know. Over a period of time I came to see, a very foolproof. Because after some time you yourself become the senior. So you come to know all this, how this system works. So very foolproof system. Abuse, it's not, you know, no one gets very seriously abused. But at the same time, that internal thing has to be wired in day in and day out. Can you imagine for a battlefield which we may or may not see after almost 1.5 decade, training starts from 6th standard. Like that. So slowly, slowly that gets so strongly wired up inside. So that when he joins the National Defense Academy and starts getting trained as a commissioned officer, one thing that is strongly there internally in his blood by now is, I do not question my authority. Of course, that is needed for defense. I am not telling that this is a universal principle. But the point is, I am just trying to tell that, you know, you can't. So that when he goes to the battlefield, on the battlefield, everyone should be ready to follow the order. Because the master plan is being made elsewhere. Not everyone makes the master plan. So, master plan is made elsewhere and all people have to execute that master plan. Then the battle is won. But if there is dissension with the lower ranks and they start questioning, then the whole thing falls apart. As Duryodhan tells, Ayaneshita Sankeshu, what is it? Yata Bhagam Avastita. Bhishma Meva Virakshanto Bhavanta Sarvayevai. He says, all of you should stay at your position and do your job. Ayaneshita Sarveshu. If you start doing someone else's job or you start questioning, Vishnudev, why you are giving this? You know, we should not be moving ahead, we should be retreating or something like that, and the whole thing falls apart. So the point I am trying to make is that for all these things, we can't, you know, how do I act on the battlefield, you don't ask. You know, off the battlefield, how is your preparation, you know, it depends on all that. So that is why so much is spoken about respecting all the living entities, even though disrespecting other living entities is not directly Vaishnava aparad, but then if you do not have a proper culture of respect towards everyone, you are bound to commit offense towards the Vaishnava also.
These are very much rooted in our education system. The way we give our respect to our teacher, those samskaras, they carry over in devotional services.
Yeah, quite possible. Quite possible. Right? Okay, so we will pass here. We have not started the session. Yeah, of course, we started a little late also. So, there is a slight change of schedule. I didn't discuss with Adipu on the board. I am suggesting you can just share your opinion. I was just thinking that after Prasadam, we can convene back at say 12 o'clock as usual. But we can have one session 12 to 3:30 and end there. Because around 5:30 I will have to leave for international train.
5:30.
Actually 7:20 is my train from Hubli. So I may have to leave from here at least by 5:45, 6 o'clock so that I can comfortably reach.
Where do you want to go?
Hubli.
Which place destination?
Mumbai. Yeah.
If you instead of going to Hubli, you can go to Belgaum.
It doesn't stop at Belgaum, it's a different route. It's not, it doesn't even stop at Dharwad. It does not go via Dharwad also. It's some other route.
It must be going non-stop, maybe Rajdhani.
No, it's not. I'll tell you. The route is something like Hubli, Gadag, Badami, Solapur, Pune, Lonavala, Kalyan, Basi.
Oh.
That route.
Yeah. Strange.
So, I have to catch it at Hubli. So, is it okay? 12 to 3:30 one session and then we will end whatever you complete, we complete that.
Yeah. In between you can just give 15 minutes.
Okay.
12 to 3:30
is
no.
Yeah. In between breaks we can give 5-10 minutes break.
Yes.
So, one shot will complete and then you are free for the day. After 3:30, free. Srila Prabhupada ki.
That's why I said that is some aspect needed for the armed forces. I am not telling it's a it's a universal principle.
We cannot put out of context military training. But only managers will go there.